Good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming and fellowshipping with us together today. It's good to meet together, study the Word, and fellowship. We won't have time to talk about fellowship today. That's next Sunday's topic. But fellowship, getting together with believers, people that we love because of Jesus. Couple of announcements. So it's been an exciting week, right? So the beginning of the week, storm warnings and tornado warnings, and then I don't know how many inches we got, 4, 5, 6 inches, depending on where you were, and then got 4 inches more, and then some of you probably did, like me, woke up one morning and found out that the U.S. has bombed Iran. Okay, whatever, I have no clue what's going on anymore. Just a note, Iran is the old Persia. It'd be an interesting study if you wanted to do it sometime, about Persia through the Old Testament and the prophecies concerning Persia and Israel in the latter days. Very interesting study. Another interesting thing that happened this week, is expected to happen. It was announced that on June 27th, which will be Friday, Congo and Rwanda are signing a peace deal. That is important to me because we have missionaries over in East Congo that have been at risk, not just covenant missionaries, missionaries from many different Christian organizations over in Congo who have been at risk. Some have had to leave the country for fear of their lives. There have been a lot of martyrs over in that area from the M23 rebels, and you probably all are aware of the two ethnic sects that are at war as well, and Islam and Christianity is just a big mess. So, if they sign this peace deal, it covers the M23 rebels. They've got to pull out and behave themselves, or try to behave themselves, and bring peace to that area of the world, and hopefully our missionaries can go back in, reestablish, Christianity can expand in that area of the world. And I apologize for that long explanation. I'm sure some of you have been following that just as I have. This week, Tuesday, assisting at Salvation Army. It looks, at least by my weather app, that it's going to be nicer by Tuesday. Roger, Lyndon and I were at the IRR praise and prayer last night, and one of the members of the singing group announced right at the very beginning, "Well, welcome to the sauna worship service tonight." And it was pretty warm. On Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Julie and I are going to be representing our congregation at the annual Evangelical Covenant Church meeting, online, not in person. It's supposed to be, what did somebody tell me, 102 today by the humidity and the temperature, and want to go to Florida where it's probably 110, 115. So we'll be joining them online this week. And then an important announcement next Sunday. At 11 o'clock, we're going to have our special congregation business meeting. I introduced it a little bit last week, but it has to do with we received a letter from Church Mutual saying that they were going to not cover us anymore unless we put on a new roofing. And so we've been investigating different companies, looking at the prices. We haven't looked at color yet because we thought we should discuss this as a fellowship of believers. How do we want to approach this? Where do we want to go? And so forth. So that'll be next Sunday. And then also following that, fairly quickly following that, is the worship service at Waterview Pines at 2 o'clock next Sunday as well. And some of you are have been friends with Dave and Mary Kurtz from Biwabik Covenant Church. You will have probably noticed that Mary went to be with the Lord this week. I have known her for a long time. I taught Bible studies in home Bible studies for the Biwabik Covenant Church for many years. Got to know them real well as some of the others that are at the Biwabik Covenant Church. So her labors are done, and we can rejoice, but of course pray for Dave and the rest of the family as well. If you'd like to stand with me, and let's begin with our call to worship, which I've taken from the New Testament, Romans chapter 5. Therefore, having been justified through faith,
we have peace with God.
But we also glory in our sufferings, knowing that
perseverance
produces godly character. And hope does not disappoint or put us to shame, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts. Hymn number 584. I like to use New Testament in call to worship because that's where we live, in the period of grace of Jesus who has brought life to us. 584.
Thank you.
Our Father, as we gather together, we are reminded of the faith of our fathers, the faith of people who laid the groundwork for this church, built it, put time, care, devotion, money, and their talents into constructing a place where people could gather together to honor you. And we honor you. And we honor your Son, Jesus, who is our Savior and Lord, in fact, who is the Redeemer of the world for anyone who would choose to believe and follow. And to honor you, our Father God. So today we thank you for our forefathers, mothers and fathers who have preceded us and continue to make sure that this lighthouse stands for your glory. Meet with us today and honor yourself in our midst, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Start with Psalms 96 on page 454, verses 1 through 9. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him, strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. And then Luke 7, 1 through 10 on page 788. When Jesus had finished saying all of this in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. There a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, "This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd following him, he said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith in Israel." Then the men who had been sent returned home and found the servant well.
Thank you.
Ushers, would you come forward, please? Let's pray together. Once again, Father, we thank you for your goodness. We give out of our heart of love to you and ask that you would use us and our gifts for your glory and your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, let my little light shine. Amen. Okay, would you stand with me? Let's sing together our doxology. Thank you. Please be seated. Once again, we will be praying for Covenant Park Bible Camp. Probably be doing that every week. As the campers continue to pour in and out, and we trust the Lord to change lives. This week we're also praying for Steve and Barb Swanson as they make the transition out of Sweden, where they've been there for more than 7 years and have just developed such deep friendships. And some of you can have known what that's like, leaving friends. It's just tough. Especially when you have a deep heart bond, fellowship, koinonia. Okay, there's the second hint for next week with brothers and sisters in the faith. And then an update at the bottom from Julio and Katia Isaza. They've had some tragedies and are in need of prayer and support and financial help with some of those family tragedies. So let's pray together. As we approach your throne, our Father, we are quick to acknowledge the body of Christ throughout the entire world, your people, the people who honor you as the only true God and honor your Son, Jesus, as the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Son of the living God, seated at your right hand to rule and reign forever. We find fellowship with all of your people everywhere. And so we celebrate together and with all of them lift our praise and our glory to you and ask that you would receive our praise, receive our thanksgiving, receive the honor that we give to you and the glory that we give to you. Let all of it all over the world ascend to your throne and please you. You will always be glorified. It is our choice that we will always glorify you forever, eternally, unending. And we enjoy to be glorifying you with our brothers and sisters everywhere throughout all time as well. We bring to you the ministries at Covenant Park Bible Camp once again. First of all, for the kids who have transitioned out of the week, the young people who have been in training and now transitioning out of training into service. We ask that you'd be with them through this week once again. We ask that once again. We ask that you'd be with kids who are entering the week of camp. We also ask, Father, that you would assist those who have been in a week of camp as they return to their homes, that their faith would not fail them. Give them the brothers and sisters that they need to sustain their faith. So for this week ahead with these young elementary age kids, we ask that your Holy Spirit would be active in ministering to their lives, and once again that lives would be turned to you and your Son Jesus, lives renewed, safety during the camping experience, safety during the heat and humidity, and that you would be honored. We ask that you'd be with Steve and Barb Swanson as they transition, but we would agree with them in their primary prayer, and that is that you would be with the believers remaining in Sweden even as Steve and Barb leave. Keep your people strong in your faith, strong in their witness for you. It's hard, Father, to know how to pray for Julio and Katia. With all of the struggles and challenges that have come their way. But we do ask that you would comfort them, strengthen them through all of the losses, encourage their hearts, and don't let them lose their zeal for you and for service to you in their missionary endeavors. We also join with them and other brothers and sisters who are praying that you would supply their financial needs that have come up in conjunction with some of these tragedies. But most of all, hold them fast in your faith. Once again, Father, we celebrate our brothers and sisters across the Iron Range and thank you that you are doing a work, some of which we cannot see, but we know you. And we know your intent. And we know your Holy Spirit. You are moving in our area and we rejoice in that and we thank you for that. Be with our brothers and sisters everywhere as they meet today, as they meet in Olcott Park this morning, that you might be honored and glorified in everything. We thank you for that as well. Through the name of Jesus, amen. And if you turn in your hymnals to 688, we've a story to tell. Thank you. It's warm. You all know that. So if you feel the desire to pray for me this morning, because it's warm and downstairs it's cool. And so what should you pray for? Lord, please help Mike to not go down any rabbit trails today. We don't have the time for that. Yep, I'm thinking about downstairs and cool. So, we have been following Jesus and his life and his ministry. Tracking with it, of course, his disciples, the 12, the 70, the 120, the 500. And I don't know where you put yourself in that group. Oh, careful, Mike, there's a rabbit trail. We've been following the life of Jesus, and now he is gone. He has ascended into heaven. And it's interesting, if you study history, and people, great leaders, die, and what happens afterwards. In many cases, a movement continues. In this case, something else happens, and I call it the apostolic tsunami. Something happens 2,000 years ago that we are still experience the cresting of the wave of this Jesus who changed the world. And I know there's people in the world who don't agree with that. But you look at history, Jesus changed the world. Christianity changed the world, whether you agree with it or not. The world is different. This is incredible, dramatic. Countries have changed before, but the world has changed because of Jesus. And so we meet on the day of Pentecost, which we talked about before. The Holy Spirit comes down and speaking in languages. I don't like the word tongues. Languages, that's the Greek word. They spoke in languages and people understood them. And it says they were speaking of the great works of God. And so, at this point, the crowd, and we don't know how many were there, but 3,000 were converted, so it had to be a good-sized crowd. The crowd was there. And it says in verse 14, but Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them. If you study that in the original Greek, it sort of indicates that Peter took his stand, was the spokesman, and was probably supported in being the spokesman to speak to this crowd. The Greek sort of indicates Peter was put forth as a spokesman. Not a surprise, because he's been the loudmouth ever since the beginning, right? So, okay, Pete, get up there and give it to him. So he raised his voice, and this is a very interesting sermon that he preaches. Men of Judea, and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. Okay, pay attention. I'm talking to you. And I don't know if he was mad or firm or happy or whatever, but he's serious. I'm going to talk to you about something that is really, really, really important. First of all, he addresses some of the rumors that were happening. These men are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what's happening. This is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be. Ever wondered when the last days started? Well, according to Peter, it started right then. And in the last days, this pouring forth of the Holy Spirit on all mankind indicates the last days. I listened to Dr. Jeremiah this week, and at one point he reminded me of a verse from the scriptures. A day to the Lord is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is as a day. And so Dr. Jeremiah summarized it and said, since Jesus left, you need to realize it's only been 2 days in God's sight. The last days, I don't know if you believe that or not, but Peter did. He connected this passage in Joel to what was happening on the day of Pentecost. Now, I'm not going to read that whole 5 verses, whatever it is from Joel, but I want you to notice this. Peter, our fisherman, recited that entire passage from the Old Testament prophet Joel. But Peter isn't done. We're going to see as we go on here, he also recites a passage from the Psalms. How in the world? Well, Peter had the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to remember that passage. Yes, he had the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus was his rabbi. Jesus was his teacher. Now, we don't have this recorded historically in the Gospels. But I believe Jesus, being a good rabbi, spent days upon days upon months upon years teaching his disciples. Teaching his disciples the Old Testament, the Word of God. Rabbis in those days, they didn't have apps on their phones. They didn't have notebooks. They didn't even carry writing instruments for the most part, because it didn't do them any good. So school in those days was like school that some of you remember, perhaps, called memorization. Remember that? Memorization. You didn't write it down. If Jesus wanted you to remember these words from Joel, what he did is he spoke them and then had the class repeat. Spoke them, had the class repeat. Spoke them, had the class repeat until you memorized those verses. Those very words. And Peter does a good job. You compare this to the passage in Joel, and you're going to find it is almost exact. There's only one place where he's flipped 2 sentences. That's all. He flipped, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your young men shall see visions. Just a reverse order is all. He repeated it word for word. The upshot of this is Peter is saying, what you've seen here today has been prophesied in the Old Testament, and concluding with verses 19 and 20, which are a reference actually to the end of days, when the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. But then that cool verse 21, and it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So Peter, out of the gate of his sermon, pulls out that prophecy from the book of Joel, applies it to this situation. Now he's going to talk to the people. Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God and with miracles and wonders and signs, which God performed through him in your midst, just as yourselves know. This man, delivered up by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. Well, that crowd knows they didn't nail Jesus to the cross. But some of them, I'm sure, by their lack of advocacy, participation, whatever, or like the disciples just fled, participated in that way. So how did they nail him to a cross? There may have been some soldiers in that crowd that actually did nail Jesus to the cross. We don't know. A reminder from Peter here. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Here we are 2,000 years later. Yes, we helped nail Jesus to the cross, which is why we need his forgiveness and his salvation. That's why the good news of the gospel of Jesus, he paid our price because of our sin. No, we didn't actually nail him, but our sin is what brought him to that place. Continuing on, verse 25, Peter quotes 1, 2, 3, 4 more verses from David from Psalm 16. And in that passage, what Peter is doing is showing the proof or the evidence that Jesus, once dead, could not be held by death. Okay, a short rabbit trail. Death. Do you all remember that death is going to be the last enemy? The last enemy after the false prophet and the Antichrist and Satan. The last enemy, death. And in fact, that's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, by the way. In the book of Revelation, the fourth seal, the beginning of the tribulation. And when he broke the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come," and I looked, and behold, an ashen horse, and he who sat on it had the name Death. And Hades was following with them. And then in Revelation chapter 20, verse 14. And death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. Death is with us right straight through. Satan is bound for 1,000 years while Jesus reigns. Death isn't taken care of until the very, very, very end. Peter is helping the folks here to understand that Jesus conquered that great enemy. Which is why we can sing Faith of Our Fathers and remember all the people who've gone before us whose faith brought them to the promised land. A land, by the way, we're heading toward. And a land sometimes, I'm sure you have the same days that I do, you just wish you could be there. Sometimes we just say, come, Lord Jesus. And I believe, like Dr. Jeremiah, we are in those last days, as Peter talks about here, but also in the preface to the Great Tribulation. That's my personal belief. And so Peter goes on to say to these people, this crowd, that God raised up Jesus, and he repeats that twice in his speech, his sermon, and we are witnesses of that. He's standing with the other disciples, and he's saying, we are witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus. And then he goes on into a little explanation, which we will avoid. Basically, for the Jews and Jewish converts in that crowd, to try to help them understand that this Jesus is the new King of Israel. This Jesus is the promise that God gave to David. I'm going to put a righteous branch on your throne forever. As Gentiles, probably doesn't appeal to us so much. Verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? So the message got across. Their hearts were pierced and they responded. The work of the Holy Spirit. And you've witnessed to people, I'm sure. You've had that opportunity. And you've experienced this. I know I have. You're speaking to someone and it impacts them. And they want to accept Jesus. They want to change their life. And I know that you've experienced this also. You've talked to people, and the message just seems to bounce off, right? Just like the seed on the pathway just seems to bounce off. Verse 38, here is Peter's response. Short, sweet, to the point. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Short and sweet, here's the message. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. A dramatic statement for the Jewish people here, because many of them had been baptized in the name of John the Baptist, as Jesus had. And later in the book of Acts, we find other groups of people that the apostles run into, and they say, where are you at in your faith? And they say, well, we were baptized by John. Well, okay, one more step. Be baptized in the name of Jesus the Messiah. And a reminder, the word repent means turn. Turn to God. Heading in one direction, turn around. Head back to God. So the message is pretty simple and straightforward. The altar call, Billy Graham gave many times, simple, straightforward. Turn away from your life and come to God in his booming baritone bass voice. I remember the effect that it had on me. And then verse 39, for the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off. As many as the Lord our God shall call to himself. We are the children far off, right? Generations down the road. Water under the bridge. We are the believers far off. What about your children and your grandchildren? They could be believers far off, right? As the generations go on and on until the Lord comes back. Could be generations and generations and generations. Who knows? The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to himself. Doesn't seem like anything, right? Simple sermon. Peter had good points. This is the beginning of the church. This is the beginning of why we are here today. This is the beginning of what has permeated the world with missionaries, with translations of the scriptures. I see now they even have little machines that are in different languages that they can give away to people, and they can just, they're solar charged, and you just punch the thing and it speaks the word of God to these people in foreign countries. Amazing. This is the beginning of the church. It doesn't seem like much to us, but it's the lifeblood that brought us here. And our little gathering together. Let's close with hymn number 686. And it's got four verses. Shirley, let's just do two. We've got basement waiting for us. You can stand with me. Let's sing our blessing to one another.